This is Melvin Tisdale speaking. We're going to be looking today at seed and how God operates in the natural and in the spiritual realm with seed. And as we look at this, we're going to be taking precepts from the scripture concerning seed. The first thing I want to do is look at what Jesus said in John chapter 12, Gospel of John chapter 12, verse 24. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone, but if it die, it brings forth much fruit." Now, the precept here, he's given a natural precept, but he's talking about a spiritual thing. Actually, it's a parable. Matthew chapter 13, verse 34 says that without a parable, he did not speak to them. Jesus always spoke in parables. So when he says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Actually, he's talking about himself. He was the one seed. Was the one seed that Father had at that point. And what we're going to look at is how that same precept of seed works in us. If you would look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, the scriptures speaks about being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, what I'm going to do in these next days, as we look into this, I'm going to be reading from a book that I have, and I'm going to be making biblical comparisons and looking at verses in the scripture in relation to this. The title of the book is Mysterious Seed, Maturing in Father's Love. And we're going to, I'm just going to read. It's a book by a man by the name of Bob Mumford. Some of you may know him, some of you may not. But nonetheless, he's got some precepts, teachings that I want to share. And so I'm going to read from this, and I'm going to read from the scripture as well. So here we go. The first reading is growth of the mysterious eternal seed. You remember, it says that we are born again, that's 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Something that's incorruptible is eternal. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God. The word of God is eternal. It is incorruptible. And so when you were born again, there was a seed placed in you. And this is what we're going to be looking at and how God brings about his purpose through this seed. God's kingdom is like seed thrown on a field by a man who then goes to bed and forgets about it. The seed sprouts and grows. He has no idea how it happens. The earth does it all without his help. First a green stem of grass, then a bud, then the ripened grain. Ripened grain. This is Mark 26 through 29 from The Message, Mr. Eugene Peterson's paraphrase. I want to read that again. God's kingdom is like seed thrown on a field by a man who then goes to bed and forgets about it. The seed sprouts and grows. He has no idea how it happens. The earth does it all without his help. First a green stem of grass, then a bud, then the ripened grain. Mr. Mumford goes on and begins to tell us, give us his thoughts. He says, "It is a mystery how anything can grow out of a pile of dirt. When I was a kid, there was a huge maple tree in front of our house, and one of the seeds dropped into the crack in the sidewalk. Eventually, that seed grew until the whole sidewalk was pushed up. I can remember flying over the concrete ramp that the roots created on my scooter made out of orange crates and old skates. Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a seed. In so doing, he reveals several aspects of the kingdom that will help us know the Father's ways and move with them. It is always fascinating to see how the four Gospels amplify and clarify different aspects of the kingdom of God. The parable of the sower is pivotal, far-reaching, and monumental in helping us understand the kingdom mystery. Mark, after recording this parable, adds important and fundamental insights. In fact, if you read that parable in Mark chapter 4, whenever the disciples ask Jesus about it, after he had told the parable, he said, if you don't understand this, how are you going to understand any of the other parables? It's a very, very important parable. Now, here are some important and fundamental insights that are given. First of all, number one, casting seed. This implies that our confidence is in the seed and that it contains all that is necessary to produce fruit. If you look at an acorn, the little nut that an oak tree grows, inside that acorn is an oak tree. Actually, if you think about it and project it out far enough, there's a whole forest in that little acorn. So the seed contains all that is necessary to produce fruit. Number two, the growth of the seed is a mystery. We sleep or rest with full confidence in the power of the seed, and we embrace the mystery that we do not really know how the growth occurs. And that's true in the natural and in the spiritual. The farmer, when he plants the seed in the ground, he doesn't go out there and be digging it up 2 or 3 days after he planted because he doesn't see a plant coming up yet. If he does, he's not a very smart farmer. Number three, the seed bears fruit in its season. The earth brings forth fruit from the seed by some automatic process. It grows and produces fruit by itself. We can cultivate, water, and nourish, but we cannot make the fruit grow. Number four, harvest of the fruit. The harvest cannot happen until or unless the fruit has appeared. Now, Mr. Mumford goes on, he says, what a beautiful picture Mark gives us of how the kingdom fruit does not emerge fully mature. As the crop grows, we first see a green stem of grass, then the bud, then the ripened grain. And only when the crop permits it is it harvested for use. Every farmer knows the futility of forcing a seed to grow. He also knows it is not possible to plant watermelon seed today and get watermelon tomorrow. The farmer quickly learns not to give him or herself a spiritual hernia trying to make the seed grow or reap a crop before it is ready. Now let's just stop and think about it. When we look at the nature of a natural seed, we can find some understanding concerning the seed of the kingdom. See, the seed that we read about here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. This seed, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here, but this incorruptible seed is the seed of God. And when Jesus talked about that seed that except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, he's talking about himself. He had to go to the cross and die in order that the purpose of God could be brought forth with many sons or many other seed. Romans 8:29 says, those whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that in order that he, the Son, Jesus, the Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren, or many seed. It is God's plan, it is God's purpose to have many sons. And with that one seed that he planted, there was the capability of reproducing many, many others. And this is what we're going to be looking at, is about how in the seed there is life, in the seed there is purpose. Now, you need to remember this, that the seed, the life that was planted in you, has to be cultivated and watered and nourished and in order for it to produce fruit. So it is. See, what happens is, in many cases, people think because they've received Jesus as Lord that they're immediately going to begin to produce the fruit of that. And they're going to grow up and go out and be all these wonderful things. When in reality, first of all, God's not in a hurry. Second thing is, you need to definitely remember, he has a purpose, and it may not be what you think his purpose is. We have to find that as we walk with God, as God reveals himself to us. And then it happens that as we cooperate with that seed that's been planted in us, the cultivation, the watering, and the nourishing of the seed in order for it to bring forth fruit. One of the very primary areas of cultivating and watering and nourishing the seed is what we call discipleship. The last thing Jesus said to his apostles on the Mount of Ascension, go into all the world and make disciples. He didn't say make converts, he said make disciples. And making disciples is like, kind of could be compared to having an orchard of little trees. I remember as a small boy walking with my grandfather through his citrus orchard. He planted them, he bought the little trees from a nursery, and they planted the citrus trees as very small trees. And he had to nurture and cultivate and water them, take care of them before they grew up to begin to produce fruit. And so it is with you and me, that the seed that God has planted in us is alive and well, but it has to be cultivated and watered and nourished. And we just, as we said, discipleship is one of the key ways of doing that. And I might just say this to you. You don't have to strain to produce fruit. The Lord asked me a question one time in respect to that. He said, did you ever hear, walking through a citrus orchard, did you ever hear an orange tree straining, grunting, groaning to produce fruit? And they don't. They don't do that. They just stay rooted and grounded in the soil, and they grow and they produce fruit. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, that our walk with God is a learning and a growing process. Each tree produces its fruit in its season. And as we walk with God, and as we trust Him to work in us, we will bring forth the fruit. You have to stay rooted and grounded in God, rooted and grounded in His agape love, and you will bring forth the fruit. You will bring forth fruit that will bring glory and honor to your Father. And I want to take a minute and pray with you. Father, I thank you, I praise you, and I honor you for the privilege that we have of looking into your word. And I ask, Father, that the words that have been spoken would take root, would grow up and bear fruit. And Lord, as we continue to look into this about the seed, help us, Lord, to hear, to receive, and to respond to it in a way that'll bring glory and honor to you and joy to us as we produce the fruit of the kingdom. I thank you, my Father, and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.